This is Sayyeda Sara Nawazish Raza from the English department. Before I begin sharing my thoughts with you, I would like to commence with a prayer. I pray, may Allah Almighty hasten the reappearance of Imam Zamana alayhi salatu wassalam, our very savior, our mentor. Ameen. Firstly, I'm not here to deliver a long drawn speech or to sound grandiloquent. My purpose is to share with you my thoughts on how Husainiyat becomes a metaphor for dynamism. If I were to define Husainiyat for you, it is very much an ism. It is a charter, a manifesto, and it entails all that which takes to become a full-fledged philosophy with practical implications. If I were to analyze the word dynamism, it infuses the spirit of going on, the spirit of moving on. Why? Because at times in a society, we are stuck at a particular point, at a particular juncture. The result is complacency. And many times, this complacency is abortive. It thwarts any further progress. It is here that Husainiyat tells us, you have to break free from the times which smack of a stalemate. It is here that Husainiyat becomes synonymous with progression, evolution, and revolution. I would like to cite the example of a dream. There was a man who caught a glimpse of Ayatollah Wahid-e Khorasani in one of his dreams. And the words that Ayatollah Wahid-e Khorasani delivered are of particular interest to me. He said, and I quote, how we look at Hussein in this world is entirely different from how we look at Hussein in Barzakh. Now he is not referring to the day of judgment, to the day of resurrection, when the rewards of your deeds would actually be distributed. He is referring to Barzakh, which is a liminal world, which is an intermediate world. It has a sense of betweenness about it. So what he means to say is that we do not understand the profile of Hussein in this world, let alone how will we understand him in the hereafter or in Barzakh. The question is, how did Hussein become the recipient of such an eternal blessing? That he is evolving, he is growing constantly in the direction of elevation. And before answering this question, my worthy audience, I would like to draw your attention to a very subtle point, to a very significant point. Anyone who was with Imam Hussein, for that matter, the ladies, the children, and Hussein himself, were not driven by any gaudy details of rewards. Their driving force was to utilize, to realize their human potential to the fullest. The driving force were not these gaudy details of Jannah and Hurane Jannah. It was not like that. So Hussain's purpose or his comrades' purpose to realize their human potential fully. It's just like you've been offered a moment of being. Either you live fully in this moment or you fail miserably. And if you analyze the select group of people who accompany Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's a specific group. There are children among them and there are ladies among them. And these ladies, mind you, are not ordinary ladies. I'm not referring to the ladies from the Ahle Bayt alayhi salam. I'm referring to the common women who are the women of potential. These are the women of metal. They accompany Imam Hussein by choice. They've landed in the battlefield not by accident. They've exercised their right to be, and hence they are where they're supposed to be, right with the Imam. And meet this lady, her name is Umme Wahbe Kalbi. She's a mother, she has lost her son, and look at her courage, her dignity. The Yazidi army, as a ruthless tactic, throws her son's head towards her. She has the courage, she has the dignity to pick up the head, kisses it, and hurls it away towards the opponents with such a might that many of the opponents die out of the sheer might of the head. This is a woman. And look at the children who are with Hussein. Just analyze this statement. Since I am on the righteous path, death to me is as soothing, as sweet as honey. This is Qasim, alayhi salam, barely 11. Another statement. Being on the righteous course of action, all swords come rushing towards me and slit open my throat. Ali Akbar, a robust young man, aged 18. Lesson number one that you draw from Husseiniyat, when it assumes the shape of an ism, is that there are no gray areas. The choice is yours. You have to choose between black and white, between right and wrong. And if you think there are any gray areas, beware. They extend somewhere in your head. You're not clear-headed. People who accompanied Hussein knew why they had landed in the battlefield. So this is Husseiniyat. And other than that, if we want to be true Husseinis, it's not about demarcating, you know, the sectarian differences. For anyone to be a true Husseini, it's important you strive for excellence as a human being towards Haq. And Haq becomes a double entendre. At one level, it signifies Allah. And at another level, it means the righteous path. You have to strive for an excellent human capacity, for an excellent human caliber, for a mind which is thinking and alive. And last but not least, looking at Husseiniyat as a manifesto. Sometimes you better understand such manifestos when you look at their very opposites. This is called in philosophy affirmation through negation. So I think you should better know what low and what evil Yazidiyat stands for in order for us to understand Husseiniyat better. And Yazidiyat is not necessarily the name of a particular person, a group of people. It might be the status quo. The status quo, which is inclusive of all the ills and all the prevalent malafides. One humble suggestion as a teacher, if you want programs like these to be fruitful, I think it's important to draw parallels between any good thing that you render in your life and programs like these. It is very important that such deeds, such programs are backed by the spirit of clarity. They're backed by the spirit of purpose. If they are not, they become traditions and they cease to be revolutions. They cease to be revolutions which had to bring about change. I sum up by reciting a small poem which I've written for Ali Asghar alayhi salam, who is a child, but a child prodigy, a revolutionary and a visionary. The annals of history, forever parched, a place at the torched moats of desert sand, witness the worst injustice on the land, where thirst lingers in the agape lips of a baby, in letter and spirit the identical color of Ali. Here infancy is insulted by sheer enormity of size, the animal arrow that struck the delicate throat, set awry the once prevalent discipline on board. Innocence in wedlock to nature laid bare the bosom of duplicity. Those who opposed honesty murdered the baby. Blood gushes forth, thirst reciprocated by savage inhumanity. Like father, like son. Journey forward in the way of revolution. Embarrassed by the weight of torment, for a moment it's time the entire universe takes to lament. Baby's name grows out of the bounds of the Machiavellian game, forever remembered, forever celebrated. His is the toil unprecedented. Ali Asghar's brutal murder, a blot on history. Even time gropes for answers, yet thirsty. Why an innocent 6 months baby was killed? Why Ali Asghar's thirst never fulfilled? why the great father hesitates to show a glimpse to the pain-stricken mother of her hapless baby. Ali Asghar, thousands of salutations upon you. My generations upon generations be sacrificed for you. You, the most shining symbol of protest against cosmetic religiosity, laid your life to unveil the ugliness of hideous atrocity. I thank you all, and I would like you to recite aloud salawat.